So our scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 7 through 13, which can be found in your pew Bibles in the Old Testament section on page 326. 1 Kings is an interesting book of the Old Testament because it's one of those historical books that shows how God continues to interact with his people during their time when they finally had a land for themselves and had kings. And so it chronicles the rulers of the kings, so 1 Kings. And where we're picking up is under the reign of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. Also during this time was a famous prophet known as Elijah, who had just defeated and killed the prophets of Baal that Jezebel and Ahab had. And they said they were going to kill him, and now he's running away. And so that's where our story picks up this morning. Please pray with me before we go into the reading of Scripture. Dear Lord, we just ask that you fill this spirit, your spirit in this place, and that you just keep us attentive to the word so that we can hear what you need to tell us this morning, because we always know that you are willing to share more and more grace with us. We ask all this through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Word of the Lord. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched Elijah, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we've been looking at the geography of God all year, and last week we started a new series on caves, and we looked at the fact that caves can be a place of refuge, a place of protection. This morning, we want to look at caves as a place of revelation. It was no surprise to me this Christmas that one of my presents was from my son, and it was the autobiography of Bruce Springsteen, which came out. That was an easy gift for him to pick up because he knew I'd appreciate that. What was surprising to me, though, as I read the book, was to find out that Bruce Springsteen has dealt with serious depression for much of his adult life, and he's very open about talking about that struggle that he has had. And it was just surprising. I mean, here's a guy who's lived the rags-to-riches story, a little hometown guy from up the street in Freehold, and going on to international superstardom as a rock star, made multi-millions of dollars. It seems like he has the perfect life. And yet, for many, many years, he has gone regularly for therapy to New York City. He has, at times, even had to rely on antidepressants to help him get through some of his struggles. And he talks real honestly about this. He says, "The blues don't jump right on you. They come creeping. When these moods hit me, usually few will notice. but my wife will observe a freight train bearing down, loaded with nitroglycerin and running quickly off the track. During these periods, I can be cruel. I run. I disassemble. I dodge. I weave. I disappear. I return. I rarely apologize. And all the while, she holds down the fort as I'm trying to burn it down. Depression goes by a lot of different names. Not all of us are necessarily clinically depressed or deal with clinical depression, but we all deal with the same symptoms at one time or another. Maybe we call it just being discouraged or disheartened or feeling despair. Maybe we call it the blues, or we feel as if the bottom has fallen out. We call it loneliness or emptiness or a sense of meaninglessness. It comes in different disguises, and it comes for all different reasons. Sometimes these feelings of emptiness creep up on us because of some failure or some dear loss. Sometimes it's a result of too much stress, too much exhaustion, too much of too much. And our reservoirs go low, and we find ourselves in a dark place. Interestingly, sometimes it comes with our greatest successes. Sometimes on the other side of great accomplishment comes that feeling of, is that all there is? And we find ourselves dealing with a dark place. Springsteen talks about this. He says, on almost every tour, there is a mild post-tour depression that can be expected. He says, the shows are an insane high. The adulation, the touring company, the fact that it's all about you. And when you come off the road, that stops on a dime, and suddenly you're a father and a husband. But now my kids are driving, so I'm an out-of-work chauffeur. The bump is natural. But most recently, the crash I experienced was something else altogether. During this period, I was so profoundly uncomfortable and depressed in my own skin that I just wanted out. That feeling of, is life even worth living? Is a question that sometimes we find ourselves asking. Elijah, if you pardon the expression, was the rock star prophet of his era. Elijah was a man of incredible power. When Elijah showed up, amazing things happened and crowds were drawn together. Elijah had the power to make a little bit of food stretch forever. Through a prayer, he brought on a drought and ended that drought. Elijah had the power to raise a young boy from the dead. Elijah had the courage to speak truth to power. He went to the greatest authority of the time, the king and the queen, and he called them to accountability before God. This man was a man of dramatic power and dramatic action. His high point, the greatest moment of the Elijah tour, came just before the story that we heard. He had a contest on Mount Carmel against the prophets of the false god Baal, the god worshipped by Ahab and Jezebel. 400 prophets gathered together, calling upon Baal to bring fire from heaven upon their sacrifice, and nothing happened. And Elijah stepped out, and with a word, boom, pyrotechnics like you've never seen, fire from heaven destroyed the offering. The crowd goes wild. And the prophets of Baal are destroyed and dispersed. It is truly the high point of Elijah's prophetic career. You would think he would be on the highest cloud, and that's not where we find him. We find him now terrified. The queen has promised retribution. He runs as far south as he can to the little town of Beersheba, as far south in the land of Israel as you can go. And then he goes another mile out into the wilderness. He's all by himself, and he lays down under a little bush, and he says, God, take my life. I'm done. I've had it. Make my life like those of the prophets of Baal. But God will have none of that. God needs this man. God has plans for Elijah. And he sends an angel, not an angel of death, but an angel of mercy. And that angel comes bearing gifts, gifts of divine food, freshly baked bread, and a pitcher of water. And says, Elijah, take and eat and drink. For if you do not, you will not have strength for the journey. Now, it's interesting, that word could be strength for the journey that you have already had or strength for the journey that is to come. But either way, Elijah needs to be strengthened supernaturally by the presence of God. And he eats the bread and he drinks the water and his spirits are at least lifted enough so that he can go on the next stage of his journey. And he travels 40 days and 40 nights further south, out into the desert, away from the promised land. And he finds himself in a cave. Now, this isn't just any cave. This is the cave. The Bible says he found himself at the cave on Mount Horeb. Now, Mount Horeb is another name for a very famous mountain in the Bible. Does anyone know the other name that Mount Horeb goes by? Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is the other name for Mount Horeb. Mount Sinai, that's the mountain where Moses, when he led the people out of the Exodus, they go to Mount Sinai. That's the place where Moses received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. That's where God came down and met Moses on Mount Sinai. And that's the mountain where God leads Elijah at this time of his great despair to this cave on this mountain, the mountain of revelation. But he's still in the cave. The cave is a great image and symbol for somebody who's dealing with depression and despair and discouragement. You just want to go hide in a cave. My dad battled with depression through his life. He was bipolar illness, so he'd have the highest highs of his manic stage and then go down into these deep troughs of depression. He began to have these symptoms in his early 50s and battled with them for really the rest of his adult life until just very recently. And during one of his depressive times, my mom called me up and said, Dad's not doing well. Could you come down? I said, of course. And so I drove down and I came into the back door into our kitchen. My mom greeted me. I said, where's Dad? And she said, he's in there. Now, there was the tiniest room in our house, the den, and had one window, and I walk into this den, this little tiny room, and the shade is down, the curtains are drawn, the light is off, and my dad's sitting there in his chair. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Oh, you know, I feel like I've let the family down, and, you know, I just feel like I'm not doing a good job anymore, and I mean, when somebody is depressed like that, it is painful. And I went over and I opened the curtains and turned on the shade and turned on the light and let some light into the room, but then I just sat down. I just sat down and listened. I just sat there. Because when somebody, you can't talk somebody out of that. But you can come and sit and be there. Elijah runs into a cave like that. This guy is so down. He's so discouraged. He's filled with despair. He doesn't have hope, and he goes and he hides in this cave. And God says, I'm about to pass by. And outside explodes the wonders of the natural world. It's an incredible display of the power of nature, one after another. First, there's this unbelievable storm, this wind, rocks smashing, boulders crashing, an earthquake splitting the earth, a huge fire rages across. But the Bible says something very interesting. As all of these profound things are happening, it says God was not in those things. God was not in the wind. He was not in the earthquake. He was not in the fire. Where was he? If he's not in those things, where was God? He was in the cave. He was in the cave. He was there all along. But Elijah couldn't see him. And then Scripture tells us Elijah hears something. It's a most remarkable phrase. It says, he heard the sheer sound of silence. The King James says, a still small voice. The New International Version says, the sound of a quiet whisper. God speaks to him. You see, when we are discouraged and we are at a moment of despair, regardless of what may have brought it on us, underlying it, I believe, is a profound spiritual question, a profound spiritual reality. And the question is, has God abandoned me? Am I all alone? Does God care? Is God here? What Elijah wanted was not dramatic displays. He wanted a still, small voice. He just wanted to hear God. And God does not disappoint. What are you doing here, Elijah? I've got work for you to do. I'm not done with you, and you're not done with you, because there's more for you to accomplish. It's time to get up and get back on your feet and get busy with the work that I've put in front of you. And Elijah comes out of that cave, and he moves back north, and he begins the second chapter of his incredible prophetic career. He starts again. He comes out of that depression, and he becomes a vital actor for God. You know, we all go through those times, and what we want is to experience the presence of God. Before Elijah went on that journey, the angel of God showed up to give him this supernatural food, this bread, because he said, if you don't have this bread, you aren't going to have strength for the journey that's ahead of you. There's a little guy in our church, Marcus. He's in our rock program. And a couple of weeks ago, he said, I like the first Sunday of each month the best. Why is that, Marcus? The bread. I wish we had the bread more often than once a month, because I want more of Jesus in me. I want more of Jesus in me. That's what Elijah wanted in that cave. He wanted more of Jesus. In him, he wanted more of God. He wanted to hear God speak. And so if you're sitting in a dark place right now, you're in a place where you're just struggling, where you feel sort of, I'm not sure what the next step is. I don't quite know what's going on. I'm not sure why this has happened. We've all been there. If you're in that place right now, I want you to know that God is here to provide you with supernatural sustenance. We come to this table this morning because this is the bread that sustains us, that gives us life and gives us hope, because this bread is Jesus. And he comes and he speaks and he puts us back on our feet and he sends us on our way. In that secret, in that quiet place, the Lord will speak. Jesus, as we come to this table this morning, some of us burned out, discouraged, beaten up, beaten down. We know that in this secret place, you're here waiting because we want to know you. We want to hear your voice. We want to know you more. We want more of Jesus in us today. Amen.